Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Everett.
I'm Sickle, and we're Sickle and Everett, and we are the Unhallowed Reviewers. We've got a lot to talk about this week. There's a lot going on, and so we're going to jump right into it. First thing we're going to talk about is this Swedish film festival, and I don't speak Spurgen Flurgen, so I don't know how to pronounce it.
That's really but racist, but...
Was that okay. Was that really racist?
I mean, it wasn't not racist.
I don't know. I'm white. They're white. Is that still racist?
Are you still white when you're dead?
Well, I'm more white, if anything. Yeah, I'm just really pale. Like,
I'm red, and I take offense to that.
What's the word? I have none of that, pigmentation. I have no pigmentation.
Okay, anyway, the Göteborg Film Festival.
The Göteborg Film Festival.
Starting in 3 days.
they are doing this pretty cool little event thing for this movie called Aniara. I don't know, I can't pronounce it.
No, that's right. I mean, one of those seven things you said was right.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, right?
Yeah.
it's going to be filmed, or they have a setup to where you can actually view the film from inside a casket. And it's, like, got a screen on the inside, speakers, air vents, and, of course, a panic button so they don't get sued. So you go inside and you're watching this sci-fi, apocalyptic sci-fi movie inside of a casket. And it's supposed to kind of increase the experience of loneliness and claustrophobia that the film represents. But yeah, it's got this panic button in it just in case you get too freaked out, you can get out. But it just sounds like a really cool way to like give an immersive experience to the audience. And I'm excited to hear the results of it.
Yeah, me too. I'm interested because, at that point you're watching the video, like the movie, inside the coffin, I assume. Like, it's not like a porthole out of the coffin, right? And if you're in it, maybe you have to, like, are you going to even be able to enjoy the movie at all? Much less, like, be uncomfortable in a coffin? Like, are you even going to... I don't know. There's so many questions. And the other part is, like, this movie looks like a sci-fi movie in space. And, I guess that works. You're kind of like, deep space syndroming in them by making them all alone while watching the movie. But also, part of the fun of watching movies is not being alone. So, like, I don't know. It sounds like it'll be an interesting experiment for sure.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, if we're gonna nitpick a little bit, I do kind of agree. It seems like an interesting genre choice. For this type of environment, it seems like this would be a hilarious choice to do for Buried.
I just was thinking
Ryan
that.
Reynolds.
I was just thinking that. I was like, they should have done this with Buried. That would have been crazy. No one. That would like.
Yes.
That would have made it so much better. Like, not that it was bad, but it would have made it so much better.
Or even The Descent, mm-hmm. even though it's not like fully claustrophobic the entire time, but even then it would be pretty intense.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, moving on. That seems fun. I'm interested to hear how people, feel about that. But we also kind of wanted to talk about a new Netflix is going to be almost on every single one of our podcasts because they're always doing something new. Whether that be creating a new show or kind of creating an old show. They've had really a lot of success with video game ones. So I'm interested to see that they do their NEX, which sounds like Resident Evil. But that's not what we're going to talk about. What we're talking about is. They're teaming with Sandra Bullock and Chris McKay to make a science fiction movie called Reborn that's based off of a really interesting premise from a comic book by Mark Millar and Greg Capullo. So, you want to talk about the premise of that book since you have a little bit more education
on
that?
Yeah, so as long as I didn't read the synopsis incorrectly, what it sounds like, because I'm not familiar with the comic book at all, but it sounds like what happens is there's this 8-year-old girl in New York City. She dies, but then she's immediately reborn as her adult self in this world of monsters and dragons, and it's kind of like fantasy world, it sounds like. And then the premise from there, as I understood it, was that she's on a quest to find her late husband with her late father, because the late husband apparently is not anywhere to be found in this world, but she knows she has a husband, even though she was 8 when she died. It gets very interesting and weird from there. But hey, Netflix trying to do monster stuff, I'm all for it. Let's go.
Yeah, and apparently Netflix, in the same vein, bought Millar World, which is the comic book publishing firm that Mark Millar founded, and that's the same one that, that's the same, like, company that made Kingsman and Kick-Ass movies. So, I mean, you have some pretty cool stuff potentially going on there. So, I mean, I can only hope for the best there. That's going to be... I'm interested to see the movie because the premise seems really cool for the comic, and Sandra Bullock... I don't know if it's a directorial debut. It's probably not, but I'm interested to see where that goes.
It's, yeah, with Chris McKay directing, it just seems like... I'm wondering what direction he's going to take it in, because his other... His claim to fame is the Lego Batman movie, which is great, but hilarious. Like, it's a very goofy and funny, and, like, there's not one thing taken seriously in that entire movie. So, yeah, is that...
That's true.
Is he going to bring that same tone to Reborn? Or is he going to take his directorial talents and expand them and give us something different? So, I'm interested to see what that's going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, agreed. Like, you know, I agree. And she doesn't really have any director credits, as far as I can tell. So, this probably will be her...
I think she's just producing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, if she's producing, that's different. But
yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
You never know how much they're going to actually put their hand in anything when somebody's producing. Sometimes they just throw money at things and walk away. And then other times they're like, well, I spent money, so I want it to be this way. So I guess we'll see what Aunt Sandra Bullock does. But she's probably... It's probably a partially... I would think maybe even a partnership with Netflix, just because of how well Bird Box did.
Yeah,
now they're besties.
It does look like that. It looks like Bullock is producing with Millar and some other people, and Netflix is just they're producing it too.
Yeah.
So, all right. Speaking of directors, as we were, or well, we weren't, but I was, because I was incorrect about what was happening.
That was a sloppy segue. It was close.
You can't win them all. But the next thing we want to talk about is Neil Blomkamp, and he's doing something that a lot of people did last year that we'll talk about after we talk about what he's doing. But he said he wants to direct a new RoboCop movie. And so for all those listening at home, which I think is mostly everybody probably. But RoboCop has an interesting franchise history, but not nearly as interesting as some others. I mean, not like as interesting as like Halloween or the Jason movies. But RoboCop 1 was pretty spectacular. It was really cool, like kind of cyberpunk-ish movie. You know, kind of
very self-aware.
Yeah, Judge Dredd, but not as far future-ish. You know, and a lot of it was really self-aware because of where it took place. It was like Chicago or Detroit or something I think it was Detroit. But, I mean, that's a commentary on it all on its own. But the second one was, like...
Wait. I have to point out that I believe you are correct about Detroit. And Detroit is more dystopian now than it is in the RoboCop.
As per, you know, I think actually It Follows takes place in Detroit, which is another commentary all on its own. But, anyway, the second movie came out, and the second one was kind of more of like a... Sickle and I really like it, but we can definitely understand why a lot of people probably don't, or a lot of people don't really consider it like RoboCop's shining achievement. And then, like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, maybe you had a second movie come out, like that was basically a reboot. And
yes,
I didn't hate that one as much, but they made it PG-13, I think, which also has its own downsides.
It took the charm out of it by doing that, I think.
Yeah,
because it takes away part of what RoboCop was supposed
to
be.
There's some pretty like they had a scene or two in there that was like very uncomfortable watching. It was like him after he'd been all messed up and he was like hanging there and it was just like part of his organs and his body. That was it's weird to me, but in the good way. But this Neil Blomkamp is going to direct a new RoboCop based off of like the following the first movie, which is an interesting place to take it.
Yes, yeah, like so he's basically like retconning / rebooting the sequels but keeping the original. Which, Ebert and I were talking about that, and it's actually kind of a fun, respectable way to approach it, because what you're saying is, the reason that this series, this franchise has a franchise, and the reason that it has a cult following, and it's stuck around for so long, and everybody knows what it is because of the first movie. if the first movie wasn't what it was, then the sequels wouldn't have happened, and people wouldn't have kept trying to capture that magic over and over again.
Yeah.
This isn't it referenced just to RoboCop. This is talking about Nightmare on Elm Street, like you said. It's talking about Halloween.
About Friday the 13th. Been differences here, right? Like you have ones like the new Halloween movie is not a reboot, or it's like one of those mixed movies. It's a reboot sequel, where instead of saying all the other sequels existed, it's ignoring those, and it's also ignoring the rebooted universe from Rob Zombie. It's just kind of its own thing that follows the first movie. Leprechaun did the same thing. Leprechaun Returns did the same thing. And then now, you know, Neil Blomkamp wants to do this for RoboCop, and it's kind of an interesting stance to take where you're like, yeah, I like the original content, but I want to make a sequel that's directly after the first one because there's a story there that I wanted to tell, blah, 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 right?
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea because you're paying respect and homage to the first movie without dismissing it, mm-hmm. which is what reboots do. You're either going to be dismissing the source material in order to make your own movie based on the same subject matter, and then you're taking away the magic of what made that first movie the first movie, or you try to copy it as much as you can, and then it's like, well, you might as well just watch the original. Like, what's the point? And so that's why sequels happen. Mm-hmm. It's so that you're progressing the story of the character that everybody fell in love with in the first movie. And so Blomkamp's is going to be able to do that. He's approaching it in that way by saying, "Hey, let's keep the original, because that's what everybody loves. Mm-hmm. That's where RoboCop came from, and we'll just take it from there. Like, let's just remove the sequels," which again hurts us a little bit because we did like the second one.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. Yeah, it's. I mean,
yeah.
To be honest, this movie has a lot to compete with for me because the second RoboCop is like one of the most iconic movies, I think, for me. It has quotable lines. It's got one of the most crazy 10-minute intro scenes of any movie ever. It's got a great villain. It's got a great cast besides the villain. You know, the story's interesting. It's scary. It's like really scary at some points. It's not just like an action film, so...
Yeah, like we were talking about that Kane, the villain, it's like the scariest robot mech thing that's ever existed. Like you just said, there's like legit scary scenes in it. Like the scene inside of that warehouse when Kane, it's one of the first scenes with Kane, if I remember.
Yeah.
It's kind of his big introductory scene. Him breaking into that warehouse, and he basically, you know, all the lights get blown out and stuff like that, and it's just this guy going around brutalizing and murdering people in his giant mech suit thing, and it's just, it's horrifying. Like, it's a legit horror scene, and so I don't like, we're not, you know, it's not that we're not a huge fan of what Blomkamp's doing, but it kind of sucks because that movie, there are way worse sequels out there that you can't at least appreciate on some culty, you know, guilty pleasure level.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And so, I mean, and another thing I kind of want to mention just in passing is that, like, just like this movie being what it is, exactly what Sickle just said, the Ghostbusters movies are the same way. And Jason Reitman, Ivan Reitman's son or some a relation, wants to direct a direct sequel to the second Ghostbusters or the first Ghostbusters. But it's not direct, sorry, it's not like a direct sequel. It takes place X years later, just like the Halloween one does. But, and, you know, that's kind of interesting because it seems to be working for a lot of people. So it's really interesting to see that happen. Now, the Ghostbusters one is, like, coming on the heels of the other movie that was the reboot, which is kind of interesting in its own way, and there's a lot of people that have feelings about that. But I'm excited for it. You know, I think that reboots are probably going to kill the film industry eventually, and reboot sequels, or whatever we're going to call them, are kind of the way of the future, if you will, where... you do exactly what we've been talking about this whole time. Respect the original source material, continue the story from that, and, you know, move forward. Now, what we don't need that for is, like, the Judge Dredd movie, where, like, I would rather see a sequel to the new Judge Dredd movie that just came out, as opposed to, like, a sequel to the old one, right?
Yeah, and I think that's definitely dependent on, I agree, it kind of a sentiment towards, like, how good was the original, you know?
Yeah.
And the original Judge Dredd is not beloved like the way the original RoboCop
is. It's no Demolition Man.
It's... Yes. Yeah, oh, yes, I agree. And it's... I just don't... there's... I mean, like, obviously there's somewhere you can look back on it and you can be like, oh, what a cool concept, or that was a great idea to adapt that, but you did a terrible job.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody says that with a lot of those original films from the early 80s around that time, but they say that with a couple of them, and, you know, that where, like you're saying with Judge Dredd, where it's just like, what was that? That was early 90s, wasn't mm-hmm. it? Early, mid-90s. And you're just kind of like, eh, it wasn't that great. So they rebooted. Carl Urban does a great job. It's that a movie's so really good. Interesting... It really was good. And the stylizing of it was great. And so, like, that would be a good one where you continue it on from there. So it definitely is, like, a franchise-by-franchise basis. Mm-hmm. But it's... I would agree with you on that front as well. I did want to say, in regards to the RoboCop sequel, Neil Blomkamp said it, there were a couple of other things that were mentioned about that. Firstly, he wants to bring Peter Weller back, who was the original RoboCop. That guy, last I saw him, a good reference for everybody if you want to know who Peter Weller is, he's the, I don't remember his name, but he's the villain captain in the latest Star Trek, or not the latest, that was the second one, Into Darkness. He was the lead captain villain in Star Trek Into Darkness. So, like, he has not aged poorly. I feel like if he wants to go far enough into the future of it, like saying, hey, this is RoboCop aged, like RoboCop ages too, because it's still just a guy inside of it, you know?
Yeah.
I think it could totally work. Peter Weller's not, like, on his deathbed or anything. So I do think it's something that he could try to do, and they could make it work. The other thing was that I'm a little nervous about is that Blomkamp and, I guess, his writer buddy have been messing with the script. And the script has been around, this RoboCop script has been around for a while.
Well, it sounds like it's actually, you know, the creators are helping Justin Rhodes rewrite the sequel.
Yeah, and so I'm not 100% on Blomkamp touching the script. I feel like he's been on a decline as far as his writing and his storytelling since his original big hit, District 9. I feel like his writing gets very heavy-handed. And it gets flawed in the way that it presents things, and you know, Chappie was pretty well panned across the board, but I love Blomkamp's vision. His movies are really, really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're a very unique take, and I feel like he can handle RoboCop very, very well. But maybe not let him mess with it too much.
Yeah, that could be...
With the writing side of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sure there's, like, already, it sounds like, 3 people writing the script, so hopefully he keeps his hands off. But other people that we don't care about keeping their hands off things are Nicolas Cage, and he's going to be... Yeah, that was a really bad segue, so you can... That one I'll take. But basically, the perfect storm has happened, where... I'm going to try to describe this as the way I saw it when I read the initial article thing. I'm not going to say what it is till after. But the perfect storm of things have happened because I guess Nicolas Cage has done so many movies that someone in Hollywood was like, you know what? F it. We're going to let Nicolas Cage, not Guillermo del Toro or any of these other people who've been trying to make Lovecraft movies for the last 10 years, make a Lovecraft movie. And he's going to be in The Color Out of Space as like one of the leads in it. And... to me, that is just, like, it's going to be awesome. I don't even care if it's not good. Like, I will pay money, and I will support Lovecraft movies being made. It's the same team that did Mandy, which I think is going to be fantastic for what it is. And you're same thing about the Richard Stanley, right? He's directing it, and he did Hardware. Yes. And he directed Hardware originally. And Hardware, as Sickle pointed out before the cast... does have a lot of, even though it's really hard to get through for me, it has a lot of, like, really good effects.
It does, yeah, it's got a lot of good effects work there in the Hardware movie. It's got a pretty good cult following. A lot of people haven't, a lot of people hadn't heard of it before. It's definitely picked up some steam, I think, in the last 5 or 6 years or so, the Hardware movie. But, so I like that I think Richard Stanley is a good choice. I feel like he'll fit well with what Spectrevision and Nicolas Cage are trying to accomplish with this one. But did you mention what it was? I'm sorry.
No, I haven't. So The Color of Space. Okay, so I'm going to say it from as someone who's read a decent amount of Lovecraft.
Yes.
As I do in my time off as a demon. You know, you got to look at other demons. But The Color of Space is probably one of the most readable Lovecraft stories. And it's one of the ones that a decent amount of people have done audio dramas for. So if you don't like reading Lovecraft, you can listen to it. And The Color Out of Space is a pretty... It's one of the stories that's like kind of fleshed out, but it's not necessarily part of the Lovecraft Cthulhu mythos directly. It's there, but it's one where it's like self-contained, I guess, right? You don't have to know anything else. And some of Lovecraft's... Probably the majority of Lovecraft stories are like that, but not the famous ones, right? So The Color Out of Space is... This is a story about a meteor that falls in like rural Massachusetts, because that's where all Lovecraft stories take place. And, you know, basically that meteor starts to mutate the population around, and someone comes from Arkham, or, you know, the main town of Steady, and to come out and look for it. Look at it and kind of document what's happening, and shit gets real. You know, that's the best way to say it. So, it's gonna be pretty cool to see that Mandy team do that, and have one of like his original stories kind of put in to hopefully what I think is like a really good setting and a really good time, as in our current time, to make one of these films.
Yeah, and it seems like, to add on to that, it seems like the synopsis, they might be twisting it a little bit for the sake of this feature film that they're doing, because Cage, instead of playing essentially a detective or investigator from Arkham, Cage is playing this family man that moves out of the city and into his old family farm with his kids and wife, and the meteor crashes in his backyard, like in his farmland. And it starts to mutate the farmland around him, and I think even the synopsis mentions that like it starts to mutate them. So it seems to be almost the exact same scenario, but the perspective is switched to a more intimate setting of somebody that's actually in the meteor situation and dealing with it hands-on, as opposed to somebody who's coming in and seeing kind of essentially the aftermath
of what's happening. Yeah, that sounds cool. Bring it on. That sounds even more fun than doing just a standard Color Out of Space story, so...
I thought it sounded pretty good too. It did sound like the way that they described what the meteor does, because it was talking about how it's mutating the life, but it's also mutating like time and space, sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. It really did make me think a lot of Annihilation. Which is newer. I mean, like, if anything, Annihilation, the book, ripped off Lovecraft's short story, if anything. But it reminded me of that, and I liked Annihilation a lot. I feel like it was, it had a few flaws in the final product, but I liked it a lot. This sounds like it's going to be a darker version of that. I'm crossing my fingers for like a mix between Annihilation and The Void. Like, that's what I'm crossing my fingers for. That's what I want
to
see.
Yeah, that could be cool. And apparently they've already kind of tried to make this movie, not tried to, there's been a few screen adaptions of, this movie-ish. I guess Boris Karloff was in one a very long time ago in 65 that was called Die Monster Die. That was kind of like a weird adaption of this one, and you have the Whitleys in it, that's how you can tell it's directly referenced Lovecraft, because those are the main character as a family, main character's family. And so, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do this time, because it's not necessarily like the first time they've tried it, but it'll be an interesting, you know, kind of thing to see how it works this time. Because there will be something there where, like, you know, you watch remakes of the same movie generations apart and see, like, what was successful and what wasn't.
Yeah.
So that could be interesting. But yeah, so do you want to talk about your movie at all, or do you want to just kind of skip it?
we can talk about it. I mean, I'm just going to talk about it pretty briefly.
Go ahead.
It's I'm going to be doing a review for it as well, but the movie I saw was He's Out There, that I watched. It really didn't do anything for me. I thought it was a pretty standard paint by numbers slasher flick. It's been getting a lot of praise in some circles, and that's fine. I didn't hate it, so I'm not going to be like, what's wrong with you? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. It's not like, you know, I'm not going to go that far. Come on, guys. Zoolander reference, Will Ferrell, anybody? No? So I'm not going to take it that far. I don't think it was a bad movie. I just didn't think it was unique. I feel like the slasher genre, Ifrit and I have gotten into this before. I just feel like the slasher genre is a very difficult genre to make unique. It's a very basic format to begin with. And so, like, how do you how many different ways can you evolve a slasher? I feel like one of the unique ways that's been done recently, proven that it can be done, is Hush. Because instead of changing and putting a tweak on the slasher, it put a tweak on the victim. Like, it put a little change and a little trick on the victim. The victim is deaf and has to find a way to deal with this guy that's stalking her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's really interesting. That was a great way to tackle a very stale genre, in my opinion, stale. He's Out There doesn't really do that for me. It doesn't really go out on a limb in any way. The slasher has some unique qualities to him, but nothing really all that intense that really grabbed my attention. And the way that the plot develops, nothing. It just felt like it was going, again, kind of paint by numbers with it, but that's kind of how I felt about it. I think it's worth probably watching on your own, prove me wrong, because there are, I will admit, there, it seems like there are plenty of people out there that liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, it sounds like it kind of just tried for something that didn't need to be done. But the movie I want to talk about is called The Rake. It came out in 2018, so just last year. I think if I would have seen this before, it would have probably made my top 10. Even though
that's so crazy,
even though it probably is not on anybody else's radar, and I can totally understand why. But one of the main things, again, that I kind of have a stick for. So if you're gonna send me a movie to like review, or you want me to do that, make sure that it's like, even if it's even remotely related to like creepypastas or anything like that, you're probably gonna get a thumbs up from me. But The Rake is actually a creepypasta story that people have been kind of turning into, like, whatever movies they have been trying to do for, like, the Slenderverse, or there's the Rake video game, and things like that, right? Is the story about this, like, creature that, like, stalks you for a long time and eventually kills you. And it stalks you with, like, by, like, threatening information on your friends and family and personal lives. So it's, like, kind of sentient, but it's, like, a creature still. And it's kind of weird, but the main point is that it's really scary because you keep getting like threatened and you don't know what's happening. And the movie kind of takes that and turns it around a little bit. So basically, like, the film starts off with this like dad who's they don't really say what he does, but he's basically like a psychologist. And so he like is like reviewing this footage from like a serial killer that they interviewed, and he's talking about this force that lives in people that makes them need to, like, kill, or, and, like, you know, death is always there, blah, blah, blah. There's a bunch of stuff, right? Like, you can go watch the movie if you want the quotes. It'll infect us all. There's all this stuff. But the whole idea is it's kind of like he's talking about something that's, like, the Wendigo, or, like, you know, that type of stuff where you get infected with it, and then it feeds off your life force, and if so you have to, like, hurt yourself or hurt others, and that's how it, like, doesn't kill you or doesn't goes away. And what ends up happening is that serial killer, and this is in the first 10 minutes, the serial killer comes, like, finds the dude, and you don't even know that's happening, and murders his family, and his two kids are the only ones that survive, and the serial killer, like, kills himself in front of the kids, and that's it. Like, that's the first 10 minutes, and you're like, what the shit? This movie, like, escalated so fast. And so that was one of the things that, you know, kind of hit me off the bat, was, well, you didn't have to wait long for much stuff to happen. There's some creepy stuff that happens right off the bat, and there's some really intense moments in the first 10 minutes, so, you know, you got that down. Some movies take forever to start. This was like a Scream, right? Where right off the bat, you get stuff going. So,
yeah.
The next chunk of the movie, which is the rest of it, is like the sister and brother grow up, and they end up like, I don't know, the sister goes a little crazy, and she's kind of like the brother from Haunting of Hill House, who's like on drugs and then out of rehab and all this stuff. And the brother is just a brother, but they basically got fostered when they were kids, and the whole idea is they're meeting back up at their foster parents' house after they died, but the sister's been, like, dealing with this, like, you know, kind of evil infection the whole time. The Rake has, like, been living inside her this whole time. And everything goes from there. Basically, she starts seeing shit, and that's kind of crazy, because everything you see is, like, the monster, or versions of the monster that are trying to, like, infect her mind, and every time she, like, sees it, she has to, like, hurt herself, or she, like, it'll come after all of her family, right? And then eventually she, like, doesn't do it, and the rake starts killing everybody. And the way the rake manifests is really cool. It's either, like, a vision that she's having, or it's actually manifest in real life, so there's payout, 100% payout. And the effects are really good.
That's what makes me most excited is, as we discussed pretty much on a regular basis, it's just, it's in general disappointing when you get low-budget creature features, anything like that, because you can almost guarantee that it's going to be, like, high school-level CGI that looks like... it looks like paper mache, like it's like, but it's like shining with like a this crazy glossy level of shimmer, like it's always in the bright sunlight. I don't know how else to explain it. It's terrible though. Yeah, and so to hear that the effects work is actually decent in this one gets me really excited. Makes me want to watch it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's only so the nice part about this movie is that even if you don't like it, it's only an hour and 19 minutes long, and it tells a pretty fairly coherent story. I mean, I'm really bad at following stories, and I was able to understand it without getting too confused. There were a few parts where I was like, where the hell did that character come from? Or, why is this guy doing this? It doesn't make sense. But that's not really why I watch creature movies, and I specifically chose this one because I wanted to watch a creature movie. So, I think it did a good job. It mixes the two genres of, like, psychological and, you know, creature horror pretty well. It's got some pretty cool kill scenes, like people getting their faces ripped off and people like tearing themselves apart. It's pretty gory, and it's got pretty gory scenes in it, but it's not a gory film, I don't think. But yeah, I definitely suggest checking it out, especially since it's free on Amazon and it's only an hour and 19 minutes. So there's probably like 20 or 30 minutes of it that you could probably skip, and that means
awesome.
A thumbs up for me.
Awesome. I'm glad that we finally, one of us actually found a diamond in the rough. It's been a while for me, so that's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm trying to slowly trolling through Amazon's movies. Like, every once in a while I'll get the gumption to, like, actually pick one and watch it, as opposed to watch something I've already seen. So...
I've been catching the wrong ones, man. Like, because I've been doing the same thing on there, and I've been picking the wrong... making the wrong choices. I think that's it for this week, but we are going to next week do our own version of the Oscars called the Oscars. Get it?
There's
get
a
it,
hyphen
everybody?
In there. Hope you can hear it.
Yeah. And we're going to throw in some of our own little horror categories for it, like best scare, best monster, stuff like that. So should be a lot of fun.
Get ready.
I think that we're going to... Yeah, get ready. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
All right, see you next time.
Okay, see you guys.